2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray together this morning, please. Father, thank you for the Bible and the Word of God as it is given to us. Thank you so much. What a comfort. What a conviction sometimes. Now, God, I don't know what's needed in this room this morning, but you do. So, Father, I pray you'd give us listening ears this morning and willing hearts to do what's preached. Anoint your pastor, Brother Johnson, with thy Holy Spirit of God as he comes and opens up the Word of God to us. And Father, if there's one in this room or two or whatever that does not know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, I pray they would settle that this morning before they leave this room. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, please let me make sure that you have your cell phones turned off or to vibrate. I ask you also, please, don't mess around with your phone during the service. People today have become crazy about texting and goofing off. I'm going to ask you to sit and still and listen. Now, I don't condone or tolerate goofing off in church. All right? So that's just how it is. Get used to that. I know you do, but hey, bear with me. If your cell phone goes off during the service, it will turn into fire and brimstone right there in your hand and begin to burn a hole right through you. And we'd hate to see that happen because we don't want to get our seats damaged. So help us, would you please, and turn it to vibrate or turn it to off or whatever the case may be, and that'll be good. I'm going to ask you to sit and listen very carefully for these next few minutes. For 14 weeks, counting today, 14 services, we have preached a series of messages on biblical answers to life's issues. Biblical answers to life's issues. And this will be the last one of the series, I believe. We may resurrect this after the December month is over and Christmas, etc. We'll see what God would have for us on that, because believe me, we didn't even come close to touching all the issues life brings to us. And the blessing is we didn't even come close to covering all the answers God's Word has. And we'll take a look at that. But now this message today is going to sort of bring everything together, because I want to talk to you on the subject of, if the Bible has the answers, why doesn't it work for me then? Now, first of all, we have to ask the question correctly. There is no if. The Bible has the answers. But the question then is, then why doesn't it work? Why doesn't it work for me? Why is it that I hear what the Bible says and it just doesn't seem to work in my life? Now, every one of us this morning, friend, every one of us has failed at doing what the Bible says. I have and you have. True? All right, now don't get the Sunday morning glazed eyeballs, tryptophan, overdose look at me this morning. It's true, is it not? Every one of us has failed at doing what the Bible says. I failed at some things this week. It was not gluttony, don't get excited. But I failed at some things this week. I tried to do some things the Bible told me to do this week. I knew some things the Bible told me to do this week, and I didn't do it. I failed at it. Now, I want you to get this straight in your thinking, but I failed. The Bible didn't fail. It would shock you this morning. Look at me carefully now. It would shock you this morning how many people are sitting in Bible-believing churches with the Bible in their hand, who believe honestly, if you were to ask them and they were honestly to answer you, they believe the Bible really doesn't work in all circumstances. Now, I'm not talking about heathens now. I'm not talking about Muslims. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about people sitting in a Bible-believing church. Look at me. Got a book in their hand right here. The Bible, the Word of God. And if they were honest with you, they would tell you, but I don't really think it works in all circumstances for me. Why is that the case? Why is it that the Bible doesn't work in my life? Why is it doesn't work for me? Because, ladies and gentlemen, as we saw in the scripture this morning, I want you to keep your Bible open to that very familiar passage to any Bible-believing Christian. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable, it says. For what? Look at the verse 16. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's one of the cornerstone verses for every Bible-believing Christian on this planet. Because it tells us something. Look at me. It tells us everything in the Bible was given us by God. This is not man's book. This is God's book. All scripture. Let me tell you what the Greek teaches here when it says all scripture. It teaches all scripture, just like it says right there in your King James Bible. All scripture. Everything in it, from Genesis to the Revelation. Look here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means the book you hold in your hand is the book God wanted you to have, the Word of God. And we believe, and the Bible teaches it, by the way, not only is the Bible the inspired Word of God, but the King James Bible is the inspired Word of God. That it is God's, He had preserved that book of inspiration given us. He has preserved it generationally down through the years so you and I would have, there's no point in having an inspired Bible if you don't have a copy of it. If all you have are reasonable facsimiles, there's no authority in that. When it says all scripture, let me prove it to you just from this passage, if I may. This thing about the issue of the King James Bible. We believe the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved Word of God for us today in the English language. He has kept it for us. When you read this book, you're reading the authority of God. See, but Pastor Johnson, it's just a copy of copy of copies. Absolutely true. But look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Would you back up a few verses from that verse, please? It says in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And look at verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Now look at me a moment. Timothy, to whom this book was written, Timothy was a young man who was raised by a mother who was a Jew. His mother taught him the Old Testament. And that's what is spoken of here. The scriptures Timothy was taught as being raised by a Jewish mother was the Old Testament scriptures. And everything that Timothy was taught in Old Testament scripture was a copy of a copy. Everything. All of it. There were no originals in Timothy's day of the Old Testament. None. They made copies and then they made copies and they made copies. And he says, you were taught the Holy Scriptures, Timothy, from when you were a child. In verse number 15, which verse 15 says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scriptures given by inspiration of God. Look at me. The stamp of inspiration was put upon the copies Timothy was taught. Not the originals. The copies. Inspiration, the inspiration of God's Word, that book given us by God, that people were used, we call it mechanical dictation, that people were used just simply to write it down. It's not their words, it's not their thoughts, it's not Matthew's book, it's not Mark's book, it's not Luke's book, it's not John's book, it's God's book. That book given by God to those men was kept for us by copies of copies by the God who gave it so we would have an inspired Bible. And without an inspired Bible, we have no authority this morning. Now, carefully, please listen to me. The point is this, dear people. The Bible that we hold in our hands cannot fail us. Can we fail at it? Yes, we can. Can it fail us? Never. Cannot be. Because the God who wrote it is the God who backs what it says. Bob Jones Sr. said, back of every command of God is the omnipotence of God to help us to obey that command. And that book, ladies and gentlemen, that Bible you hold in your hand this morning is the authority of God. So if we have a book like that, and by the way, it's not on the same plateau as the Koran or the golden letters of Confucius or the book, the writings of philosophers. It's not on that same level. It is in a class all by itself. God did not inspire Muhammad when he put down. By the way, Muhammad did not write the Quran. The Quran is not only some of his writings and visions, but it's an assimilation of verbal tradition passed down through the centuries, and then someone finally just wrote it down. That book is no more authority than the phone book you hold in your house. There's no authority of God in that. God put his authority in that book, the Word of God. Now, question then. So if we have, not if, since we have this book God has given us, the only book, there is no other testament of Jesus Christ. There's just one. That's the book. He opened it in Genesis. He closed it in the Revelation and put a stamp of curse upon anybody who would add to or take from his word, Revelation chapter 22. So there is no other testament. There's just one, the word of God, the Bible that you hold in your hand today. Now, since we have this authority from God, and it's what God says, not what I say, then why is it doesn't work for some of us? We give all these sermons on biblical answers to life issues, and we've covered everything from sorrow to stability, from God's blessing on your finances to thankfulness in your heart and your life, how to get out of this apathetic attitude that's in our country today. I don't even know what you're talking about, and I don't care. That's the one I'm talking about. That attitude, all that, we've covered 13 different subjects on, and gave you a Bible answer to fix every one of them. Now then, question, why doesn't it work for some of us then? Now, what we have to be careful of this morning is we don't blame the Bible. Number two, we cannot blame the circumstances of our society. Well, it's too hard to live the Bible today. It's never been easy. There has never been a time when it was easy to live by the Word of God. Never. So it's not like our generation or these people, the people who walk the earth today, are facing some insurmountable things in their life. No. It's never been easier. It's never going to be. By the way, it's not that you can't. It's just that if you're thinking our day excuses us from obedience to the Word of God, you're missing something here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But why do we fail at this? Why does it happen? Why did Mike Johnson fail at the principles of the Word of God this week? Now, there are several reasons, and they'll not all apply to me personally, but they will apply to many of us this morning, and I want to give them to you. Why is it the Bible doesn't work for me? Number one, because we do not know the author. Look here, folks, look at me. All Scripture is given by inspiration of who? All Scripture is given by inspiration of who? Now, that means he's the author of this book. If you do not know the author, you cannot understand the book. People need to understand this Bible of the Month Club, modern version mentality that has swept into our churches. The most common reason is the most simple reason for them, the modern versions. They're easier to understand in the King James. Thee and thou and canst not and all these sort of words. I don't understand what the King James Bible says. Since it is the Word of God today, if I don't understand what it says, the problem's not the Bible. The problem is I don't know the author. The reason I'm not getting it, it's not working for me, is this. Let me read it to you carefully this morning. Please listen now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Listen. "Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And here's the verse. "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now, do you know what a natural person is? That means a person in their condition of birth. This organic craze that sweeps America. Organic potato chips. Is there anything more stupid than an organic potato chip? Leave it alone. Just leave it alone. You want organic something? Eat an organic granola bar. But leave the potato chips alone. We want them with the fat content and the grease content and the oil content and the cholesterol content. Potato chips are meant to be thinly sliced potatoes fried in oil, covered in salt. You want organic? Organic milk. Okay, I guess we can have organic milk. But you know, it's a natural condition. Look at me. Organic means something that's as close to its natural condition as possible. The idea of a natural man not receiving the things of the Spirit of God simply means this. That person who was born lost is still lost, and they're taking the Bible, trying to get out of the Bible what the Spirit of God must reveal to them. It is frightening to me that people who claim to be Christians today say they can't take the Bible and read it and get truth from the Word of God. So we write another one that's made on the wisdom of mankind, not the Bible, the wisdom of man's interpretation, the wisdom of man's writings, the wisdom of man's workings, and we say, that's better because it's written the way I think it should be written. Excuse me, he wrote the book. Get the Spirit of God in your heart and your life and you'll understand it. Look here, folks, listen to me. The reason the Bible's not working for some people today is because they don't know the author. When you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. And that Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, is a person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is the author of the book. You have an indwelling author who lives inside of you. So does that mean if I'm saved, I understand everything the Bible says? No, but you can. And look at, and when you hear it preached or taught or you read it, the Spirit of God will say, that's good, that's good. That's, by the way, that's why some of you read these modern versions and it's like, that doesn't even sound right. It doesn't even bite. It doesn't have anything. There's no working or unction of the Spirit of God behind it because it was written by man's wisdom instead of God's. You read Psalm 23 in any other version except the King James Bible and tell me it sounds right. Tell me it even has the stamp of sweet authority behind it. Natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. The reason we can preach now, and honestly, I have a list of subjects God has given me for this series of messages, and I still have several yet to get on this biblical answers to life's issues. The reason I could preach those for the next 10 years in our church easily, without even stretching the subjects, because of all the things that life brings to us. And thank God the Word of God has an answer for everything. Tells me what I should do, what I shouldn't do, where I ought to stand, where I ought not to stand, what I should believe and what I should not believe. Helps me, defends me, protects me, provides for me, watches over me. Oh, it's amazing this book God has given us. But why doesn't it work for some? Some people are just, they don't know the author. They have never settled this matter of salvation in their life. The indwelling person of the Holy Spirit is not here. And look at me. And if he is not here, he cannot compare spiritual things with spiritual. So you can go to Dr. Reverend Wiggerlips all you want to. He can just stand up there and parse the Greek and the Hebrew and everything else and impress you with his theological acumen and get up and walk out of that place with nothing but your ear tickled and your back scratched and send you off to your champagne and scrambled eggs. And it won't help you in your life a lick until you get the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm not saying because the Bible doesn't work, that means you're lost. Everyone's lost. I'm saying that's a good reason for many, however. Because they don't know the author of the book. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Listen to me. That means everything the Bible teaches about science, everything the Bible teaches about philosophy, everything the Bible teaches about nature, everything the Bible teaches about me, everything the Bible teaches about you, everything the Bible says that will be, has been, going to be, and should be, is all inspired of God. It's all of it. Every bit of it. I don't have to wonder where I came from. God fashioned us in the dust of the earth of Eden's place and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we're the creation of the Almighty God of heaven. We're not an evolutionary accident or side thought. God created us. That sets the foundation and the format for who we are and who we become. Either we are nothing but animals, or we're the creation of an Almighty God with a purpose and a reason to live. You see how it tears at the very... Ladies and gentlemen, this thing about understanding the Bible's working helps us to... Well, Pastor Johnson, see, I was educated in a different way. I was trained in public school all my life. They didn't have Christian schools when I was growing up. I didn't have anybody but my grandmother and my Sunday school teachers and preachers telling me that there was creation. 6 24-hour periods of creation. But every day I'd go to school, they'd teach me contrary. And I'd come home... First time I met, I think it was first grade, maybe second grade. I came home from school and lived with my grandparents at the time, and family had broken up. And I came in the house. I said, "Grandgon, I don't understand what happened in school today." She said, "What is it, Michael?" And I said, "My teacher said that we come from, there's the thing called evolution, Grandma. And Grandgon, they're saying that we came from the animals and we evolved over." Millions and billions of years. And I said, is that how it is, Grangon? Because in Genesis it said God created everything. And they say, and my grandmother, with an encyclopedia in one hand, a science book in the other, and a Bible in her hand? No. Nothing but a King James Bible in her hand. Said, Michael Ray, you go to school and you let them teach you that stuff and you learn it and you get a good grade of what they teach you. But this is how it is, young man. We believe that God created us because the Bible says so. And I had to make a choice that day as a boy. I had to be willing to accept what God said. But you see, I was already a saved young man. Already knew Christ as my Savior. Knowing the author helps you understand how the book works. Got it? So the reason it, look at me, the reason it's foolishness to them, preaching what the Bible says, instead of, well, the reason it's foolishness is because many of them, they just do not know the author. Why doesn't the Bible then work for some others? Well, there's another reason for that, and that's because they're not willing to submit to the authority of the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, the Bible says. Beneficial. But is this, seriously, look at me. Is that book beneficial sitting there like that? You got one of those family Bibles at home? You know, hippie Jesus on the cover? Sitting up on a piece of furniture at the house? Whenever the preacher stops by, you run in the house real quick, throw out the TV guide, put it out on the coffee table. Does it do us any good? Ladies and gentlemen, does it do us any good to have an inspired record? Perfect. And to own it and to possess one. It is only profitable when it teaches you what to believe, doctrine. Reproof corrects you in your life, tells you, nope, that's not good. This is good. Nope, that's not right. Yep, that's right. Corrects my conduct and my behavior. Let's see now. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16 again. It says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hey, it tells me what I'm supposed to do. It bosses me around. Don't you love people who boss you around? Don't you just love that? I just love it. I love it when I go to the store and they say, stand in that line right there. When I went into the military, I had to go to the induction place in Los Angeles where I joined AFI's induction facility. And as soon as you walk in the place, they try to give you a little taste of military life. Now, all branches of the military have to go to one of these induction places. How many have been in the military before? You know what they do. You go in there, first thing you do is take all your clothes away from you. That's humbling. Then you got a bunch of guys walking around in their drawers. And then they got all these lines painted on the floor. And there's a guy standing there saying, follow that yellow line. Now, I was an old hippie from the 60s. I didn't like stop signs, red lights, or yield signs. When he said yellow, I wanted red. But you found out immediately you were going to do it their way if you wanted to join up with this bunch. And I had to learn to submit myself to authority. See, the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, it is profitable to me if it tells me, teaches me my doctrine. That means my belief and practice. If it reproves me, hey, guess what? I go to church, I find out, oops, should have been doing that. Or, yep, that's something you should be doing. Reproof has both sides to it. Correction simply means telling us that one, that road right there, that's no good. You want to go that way. Corrects my direction in my life. And instruction in righteousness tells me what I'm supposed to do. What's the right thing to do in any circumstance or situation? Now look at me. That means the Bible was given me to have that kind of authority over my life. Well, I do my own thinking, Pastor Johnson. Oh boy, scary, isn't it? If you stop to think about it, that's where our world has gotten itself in its condition. It says in the end of the book of Judges, the last verse in the book of Judges, after 300 years of Israel's history, having 17 different judges, going from blessing to confinement, to bondage, blessing to bondage, blessing to bondage. At the end of the book of Judges, it simply says this, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Oh, follow your heart. All you Disney fans out there, just follow your heart. It'll never disappoint you. The Bible says a human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? Well, if you just think it's right, I mean, how could it be wrong? Oh, you got to be kidding me. Folks, we just finished the Thanksgiving season, which we're still working on. How many times did you convince yourself for another piece of pie? After you were already so full, as my grandmother used to say, all my people are from Oklahoma, so I can call them Okies, okay? All my people are Okies. They have Okie expressions like, he walks like a burnt-toed chicken. Now, I've never seen a burnt-toed chicken, but I've seen people who walk what I think would look like a burnt-toed chicken. Happy as a dead pig in the sunshine. I don't know what in the world that's supposed to mean. That's another Okie expression. And the other one is, I'm full as a tick. Now, I know what that means. I've seen a tick on a dog before get about that big around, gorging himself on that blood from that dog. And there we were, full as a tick, and we talked ourselves into one more piece of pie, figuring we could just get that right on that left side of the left lung and take away the last breathing chance I had to make it through the rest of the day with an oxygen content above 40 or 14. The truth is, you can convince yourself of anything. You've got to be kidding me. When we do that which is right in our own eyes, we're going to ruin ourselves, our society, and our hope for any decency in life. But ladies and gentlemen, when we start talking about the authority of the Bible telling me what to believe, what to do, what not to do, where to go, where not to go, what I'm supposed to believe, how I'm supposed to talk, everything. Then you find some people, Christian people, I'm talking saved, born again, going to the same heaven everybody else is going to, who start saying, now wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I mean, we'll use the Bible for faith and we'll use the Bible for its nice stories and tell me about Jesus walking on the water and talk to me about the virgin-born Son of God and just talk about that nativity scene and let's talk about all the stuff in the Bible. Don't start telling me how to live my life when I walk out of this building because that's nobody's business. You see, we got a problem. And then guess what? The Bible doesn't work unless it's profitable to teach you what to believe, what you can and cannot do. Get the picture? But again, the problem is not the Bible. Churches like this that just preach it straight at you. If you've been here for like 2 weeks, we just come right at you. You notice that? Huh? I'm Mr. Video Slick. All right? We're not going to do that. I'm not going to bring you in here, massage your ego, send you out with a little thought for the day. If you preach the Bible, you can't do that. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged butter knife. Huh? Sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, oh. One thing about swords, you get on one side or you get on the other one, but you don't sit on them. Not for long. You don't find a comfortable place on the edge of a sword. Yes? Yeah, it's dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. Some of you right now sitting there going, "Who? How do you know that? How do you know that's what I was thinking? I didn't know anything." The Bible being preached reveals to us even the own intent and thought of our own heart. That's why we just let it go. Just preach the Bible. Just preach the Bible. Get off this other stuff. Just preach what the Word of God says. But when you get to that now, friend, then there's going to be an authority issue in your life. And the Bible will work if you'll say, okay, if that's what the Bible says I should believe, then that's what I believe. And you don't weigh it against Dr. Reverend so-and-so, and you don't weigh it against science, you don't weigh it against this or that, or popular opinion. We don't check the winds of political correctness. We just follow what the Word of God tells us to do. And it will tell you what to believe. It'll tell you where you can and can't go. It'll tell you how to talk. Hey, guess what? After a while, it'll start messing with the way you think. You'll even get down to your motives and start getting into that issue of why do you do what you do? See, for you, my friend, we have to be careful or else we will come to the place where we think sitting in a service like this for an hour on a Sunday makes you a Bible-believing Christian. I got news for you. The devil shows up every Sunday. And the Bible said the devils believe and tremble, but they don't change anything. Because nobody's going to get next to my living on this. It's an authority issue. It works. You say, Pastor, you don't understand how it is with me. Yeah, right. And I'm Mr. Easy to get along with, not Mr. Stubborn, knuckleheaded person. Hey, friend. You think when I first walked into a Bible-believing church, I just thought, this is wonderful. I believe everything he said. I used to sit in church going, what in the world? Who did that? What planet has that man come from? This man is an alien. I spent the first 2 months in the Bible-believing church looking for antennas on the back of his head because the guy had to be from another planet. There is no way he could say that. No way he could. No way. There's no way. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a matter of authority. The Bible will work if I will be willing to submit to the authority of what the Bible tells me. Hey, it is an authority issue. Yeah, that's right. Pastor Johnson, pastor of an independent fundamental soul winning separated King James Bible preaching hellfire and damnation Baptist church, has times in his life when he has to say, just shut up and do what you're told, Johnson. Now, I'm not going to say that to you. Well, yeah, maybe I will. I'm not going to say that to you this morning. But the truth is, you know what? His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Well, you can make one man on the airplane I was witnessing to one day said, well, you can't even think for yourself. I said, yes, sir, that's right. I said, I could, but then I'd be as confused as you are. But no, no. I kind of let the Bible do my thinking for me. When I'm smart and intelligent enough to know I got a lamp that will help me with my next step and a lamp that will illuminate my path, that's all I need in life. I'll just take it one step at a time with God. And here's the man's look on his face. He said, I wouldn't want to be that way. And I just looked at him and smiled and said, I wouldn't want to be like you. He said, you don't look like you're happy in your philosophy, sir. Well, of course I am, because I understand it's reasonable. It makes sense to me. Oh, okay. Well, I'm just dumb enough to believe the Bible, so pardon me for being happy as a dead pig in the sunshine. Nothing encourages an intelligent person like a good old okeyism. It's an authority issue, and you know it is. That's why you think, oh, the Bible can't tell me what to wear. Oh, yes, it can. The Bible can tell you what to wear, how to talk, everything, all of it. If my attitude, and guess what happens when I do what the Bible says? The Bible becomes alive, and it starts to work in my life. It's already a living book, but now it's living in me. It's an authority issue. Do you know why the Bible doesn't work for some of us? Because, ladies and gentlemen, we hinder its assimilation. I had to have another A, so that's the word. Hang on. Look at verse 17. It says that the man of God may be perfect, throughly, shouldn't say thoroughly, it says say throughly, furnished unto all good works. Perfect in the Bible doesn't mean sinless, it means completed. If I let the Bible, look at me, if I let the Bible control my life, God will complete the things in my life that are lacking. Hey, did you come from a rough childhood? Bad home. A broken home. Where, by the way, a vast majority of people in America today under the age of 40 or 50 do come from today. Vast majority. Not all, but a vast majority. Most people under the age of 40 or 50 today are not going to see their parents married for the rest of their life. They're not going to see that. Most of them. Not all, but most. Some of us are going to come from some pretty bad situations. You agree? Drunkards, junkies, abuse, some nasty things, some vile things that come to people's lives today. So we're going to grow up incomplete people. But anyone, even from a good home, there's still going to be things lacking in your life that you didn't get, even from good parents. You'll have enough to do right and be right, no question. But guess what? You let that book right there, you submit to the authority of that book, the Bible says it will perfect you. It'll complete you. Many people spend the rest of their life bemoaning the childhood they did not get to have. Well, I had a terrible childhood. I had to grow up quick. Guess what? You do what the Bible says. God will give you a home and a family. And the childhood you did not get to have when you were a kid, you will get to have to the children God will give you and grandchildren God will bring to you. And God will take and perfect what you lack if you do what the Bible says. So we don't go around the rest of our life with a poochy lip disease, with a lip hanging out going, I didn't get to have this when I was a kid, and I didn't get to go there when I was a kid, and I didn't get a pony, and I didn't get a bicycle, and I didn't get a skateboard, and I didn't get a thing. I didn't get a Wii. First time I heard that, I thought, why are they selling that? But anyway, but the truth is, I can't imagine people today who spend the rest of their life going, I didn't get this stuff when I was a kid. So they grow up with a chip on their shoulder. Man, it's the cotton-picking world. Going to get even with everybody else. And they think sitting around talking about it is going to make it better. No, the Bible will perfect you. It will complete what you lack if you let the Bible work in your life. Don't listen to me. Don't miss the assimilation of what the Bible can do. Let it get into your heart and your life. Let it go from up here to here and then show up here in your feet. Take it out of church. Take it home with you. Take it to your house. Take it to your place of business. Take it in your life. Take it day by day with you. Every day feast on the Word of God. Every day take the Bible into your mind. Memorize it. Commit it to your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Let the Word of God convert your soul. The law of the Lord is perfect. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Making wise the simple. That book will do everything it needs to be done in our lives. If we'll take it in and stop this religious sitting in the church, let it bounce off us like BBs off a parking meter, instead of letting the Word of God get into our hearts and our lives. It will make the difference. It will perfect you. And anything you lost because of life or sin, God will replace with something much better. And something without regrets. And something that's wonderful and sweet. I grew up in a broken home, and my parents are divorced and remarried several times. And there were times, and I was thinking about it this morning for some reason, thinking about this message, and times when I'd go to bed at night in my mom's house with a drunken stepfather and wake up the next morning in another relative's house. I didn't even know how I got there. And be living there for months and say, well, where's mom? And he said, well, she had to bring you here last night. Our life changed so many times. I never went to one school more than 2 years in a row. This is the town where I live now here in Reading. This is the longest I've ever lived in one place in my entire life. Hey, but guess what? I don't go home to a wife that loves me and children that love me and grandchildren that I treasure and think, but I didn't get to have that when I was a kid. Hey, is that a good way to look at life? Huh? No, look at me. God's perfecting what was taken. And the Bible will do that. Perfect. But you got to go back to the authority where it tells you what to believe, what you can, what you can't do. See, if you get under the authority, God will bring the assimilation of that truth to your life. And he'll bring that there, and you'll be thoroughly furnished. My dad remarried, and one of the ladies he was remarried to, one at a time, one of the ladies he was remarried to, she liked to take everything when she got mad and they fight. Everything. Take it all out of the house. Come home from school, close the door, bong, 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 bong. That little apartment, she took everything. Furniture, dishes, food, everything. She did it 3 times. The third time, she took the switch plates off the light fixtures. But man, good thing she didn't pull the paint off the wall and start ripping up the baseboard, for goodness sake. I mean, it was gone. And my dad would be sitting in the middle of the floor of the phone book calling a friend, John, can you loan us a couple forks for tonight so we can get by? And we hit Goodwill. I own stock in Goodwill. Salvation Army, replenish things, get a few more items back together, try to furnish the place where we live. The Bible says, if you listen to me, the Word of God will truly furnish your life. He'll not only put in what's lacking, he'll make sure you have exactly what you need, and yea, more than that. Most of us have more than one chair to sit in at home. Most of us. Unless you're a single guy, and then you've got one chair. It's a recliner, and you've got one television, 42,000 square inch LCD. But most of us have more than one piece of furniture in the house. Yes? Yes? You got a thoroughly furnished thing. I got in the service in 1972, and was stationed at Castle Air Force Base in Merced. A buddy of mine and I rented an apartment, $90 a month, 2-bedroom, completely furnished. I couldn't even begin to describe for you how nasty that place was. It was awful. What do you want for $90, completely furnished? Apartment. The windows didn't close. The doors were all crooked. There was an old house. It was full of bees in the daytime. It was $90 a month, but it was thoroughly furnished. Your life will be thoroughly furnished, friend, if you'll let the Bible. Listen, the Bible doesn't work because we get to those verses, commands, principles that tell us what to do, and we pull out and then blame the Bible because we didn't do what we were told. Let the Bible keep working. Don't stop at something. When the Word of God tells you to do something, step up to it. Don't step back. Don't step sideways and say, well, I'll pass that one up and go on. No, every principle of the Word of God is a stepping stone upon which God builds your life. And if you allow him to do that, he'll thoroughly furnish your life and perfect it and put all the stuff in there. It's amazing, that book, ladies and gentlemen. It's amazing. But I can give you Bible answers till the cows come home, until the chickens roost. But if it's just a book and you don't know the author and you won't submit to its authority and you pull out before you can get all the truth it has for you, then it won't work for you. But our failure is the problem, not God's book. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.